Hey, this is Nicholas. Today we're talking about the category herbs that dispel wind dampness, also known as herbs that treat bee syndrome. As always, we'll start with an overview of the category, talking about what is bee syndrome and discussing the properties of the category as a whole. Then we'll go over each of the individual herbs in detail. And finally, we'll do a brief summary and comparison of the herbs. The audio portion of this lecture can be downloaded for free at tcmstudy.net under the Herbology 2 tab. There, you can also find lecture slides with photos if you want to follow along, and there's a practice test you can take afterwards. But let's go ahead and get started. So the official name of this category is herbs that dispel wind dampness, but what we're really talking about here is something called bee jung, or bee syndrome. Bee jung is sometimes translated as impediment syndrome or painful obstruction syndrome. The idea here is there's a wind cold damp pathogen that invades the body and impedes or obstructs the normal flow of qi through the channels, causing pain, aching, heaviness, numbness, or inhibited bending and stretching of the joints. This is similar to a Western diagnosis of arthritis, but can also include things like low back pain, spondylosis, sciatica, or even gout. So maybe what we can point out here is that this is different than acute pain due to injury and trauma. That we would categorize more as qi and blood stagnation. For bee syndrome, think about the patient that they can tell when it's going to rain because their joints start aching, or someone with an old knee injury that flares up whenever the weather is cold and damp. That's a sign that the qi of the environment, a wind-cold damp pathogen, is invading the body, causing pain. So even though the books call this category herbs that dispel wind dampness, it might be easier and more straightforward to just call it herbs that treat bee syndrome, because that's what we're treating, bee syndrome. So there are several categories of bee syndrome, but for now, maybe we can just keep it simple and say that the type of bee syndrome will depend on which pathogen is predominant. So bee syndrome is normally caused by a combination of wind, cold, and dampness. But if wind is the predominant evil, then the pain will move around from one place to another, because, you know, the nature of wind is to move. So it might be that one day they come in with pain in the shoulder, next day it's pain in the hip, next it's pain in the low back. And this is called wind bee or xing bee, which means moving bee, walking bee, or wandering bee. When cold predominates, the pain will be more intense. The limbs will feel cold and the pain will be relieved by warmth. This is called cold bee or tong bee, painful bee. When dampness predominates, the pain will be in a fixed location. The body will feel heavy, and the joints will be swollen. Remember, dampness causes feelings of heaviness. This is called damp bee or jiao bee, fixed bee. And then a fourth type, if these pathogens stagnate long enough, or if the person has an overabundance of yang qi, then the evil can transform into heat. This is called zhi bee or hot bee. Here, the joints will be red, swollen, painful, and warm to the touch, like with rheumatoid arthritis. And besides the different types of bee syndrome, we also have different strategies for treating bee syndrome. We can dispel wind damp and basically push the pathogen out. Herbs with this action are usually very good at stopping pain. We can also relax the sinews and unblock the channels. This is for numbness and tingling due to wind blocking the channels, or for inhibited bending and stretching of the joints due to hypertonicity of the sinews. Or we can tonify liver and kidney yin to strengthen tendon and bone. The liver governs the tendons, and the kidney governs the bones. So that's why we say tonify liver and kidney yin to strengthen tendon and bone. This is useful for long-standing chronic conditions, usually in debilitated or elderly patients characterized by weakness, deficiency, and atrophy. So when you go through the individual herbs, these are things we'll want to pay attention to. Does it treat a particular type of bee syndrome, like hot bee or cold bee? By which way does it treat bee syndrome? Does it dispel wind damp? Does it relax the sinews? Or does it strengthen tendon and bone? And does it treat bee syndrome in a particular area of the body? Some herbs are better for the upper body, some herbs are better for the lower body, some herbs are better for the extremities, and so on. In terms of general properties, herbs that treat bee syndrome tend to be warm, acrid, and bitter. And this should make sense. Since we're dealing with a wind-cold damp pathogen, we use the acrid flavor to disperse the wind, warm to deal with cold, and bitter to dry the dampness. But this isn't always going to be the case. For example, herbs that treat hot bee are going to be cold in temperature, or herbs that tonify liver and kidney yin, are going to be sweet in flavor. In terms of entering channels, these herbs tend to enter the liver and kidney channels because the liver governs the sinews and the kidney governs the bones. So you can maybe think that we're dealing with joint pain, and the joints are where the tendons and bones come together, and that's where this pathogen is lurking, in the joints at the level of the sinews and bones. So that's why we say liver and kidney. In terms of administration, some of these herbs can be prepared as a tincture by soaking them in alcohol, or they can be ground into a powder and swallowed with alcohol as a single herb. Remember, alcohol can enhance the analgesic or pain-relieving properties of certain herbs, or you can just remember that alcohol goes to the liver, which is what we want. Any cautions or contraindications we should pay attention to? These herbs tend to be warm, acrid, and even aromatic in nature, which means they can be very drying. So we have to use caution in patients with yin or blood deficiency. So let's go ahead and talk about the individual herbs. In terms of organizing these herbs, Benski just gives us one long list of herbs that treat Bee syndrome, but other books will organize them differently. For example, Weissman and Brand divide them up into herbs for cold bee, hot bee, and sinew bone strengthening herbs. Chen and Chen divide them up more based on treatment principle, herbs that dispel wind damp and stop pain, herbs that unblock the channels and relax the sinews, and herbs that strengthen tendon and bone. I tend to go with the last one just because that's the way I learned it, but just realize that there is some overlap. A lot of these herbs treat Bee syndrome in more than one way. First we have Duhuo, Angelica pubescentis radix. Duhuo. Duhuo treats Bee syndrome using our first treatment strategy. Duhuo dispels wind cold damp to treat Bee syndrome. It can be used for both acute and chronic conditions, but specialty is treating Bee syndrome in the lower body, that is, the low back and the legs. And maybe you can remember this because we have another herb with huo in the name that also treats Bee syndrome, Qianghuo, from the category warm acrid herbs that release the exterior. Qianghuo is better for Bee syndrome in the upper body. Duhuo is better for Bee syndrome in the lower body. And similar to Qianghuo, Duhuo also releases the exterior for external attack of wind cold with dampness. So this would be fever and chills and a floating pulse with additional signs of dampness, like joint pain and body ache. In this situation, it's common to use Duhuo and Qianghuo together, and that combination is called Erhuo, the two huos. If anything, number three, Duhuo can treat Shaoyin headache and toothache. Duhuo is warm, acrid, and bitter. Like we said before, since we're dealing with wind cold dampness, these herbs tend to be acrid to disperse wind, warm to disperse cold, and bitter to dry dampness. Duhuo enters the kidney and UB channels, since these are the channels that govern the low back and the legs. Some books will also say it enters the liver channel as well. In terms of cautions and contraindications, Duhuo is very drying in nature, so use caution in cases of yin deficiency or blood deficiency. The character du means alone or independent, so Duhuo means independent existence. This is referring to the plant. It has a strong stalk that's not easily shaken or swayed by the wind. So maybe you can think that Duhuo will give you a strong body or a strong low back that won't sway easily with wind invasion. Or you can think that it smells like angel pubes, because, you know, Angelica pubescentis. Next is Weiling Xian clematidus radix. Weiling Xian. Weiling Xian dispels wind cold damp, unblocks the channels, and alleviates pain. Weiling Xian is often described as being very piercing, penetrating, and mobilizing, so it's very good for treating pain conditions due to wind. For low back pain, Weiling Xian can be taken as a single herb by grinding it into a powder and swallowing with warm alcohol. It's so good at relieving pain, it can also be used to treat knocks and falls or headache and toothache. Just be careful not to use Weiling Xian long term, as its yang nature can be very drying and it can exhaust qi. And then, another funny action of Weiling Xian is that it softens fish bones for bones stuck in the throat. So that's why it's marked salty in flavor, because it softens hardness, as in fish bones. However, some sources say that Weiling Xian doesn't actually dissolve the fish bone, it just relaxes the throat muscles so that the bone is easier to swallow. And number three, Weiling Xian can treat epigastric pain due to phlegm in the middle jaw. And that's another reason it's marked salty in flavor, because it can disperse abdominal masses and clumps.
So Weilingxian is warm and acrid because it has the piercing, mobilizing nature. It both releases the exterior and promotes movement through the channels to treat Bee syndrome. And both of those actions are associated with the acrid flavor. And then Weilingxian is salty because it softens fish bones and it softens abdominal masses. The name Weilingxian means awesome spirit immortal. I don't know if that has any significance, but it sounds pretty cool. Next is Haitong Pi, erythrini cortex. Haitong Pi. Haitong Pi is another one that dispels wind cold damp to treat Bee syndrome and also unblocks the channels. And it's another one that's useful for the lower body, like pain in the low back and knees. What's special about Haitong Pi is that it's good for dampness, for things like gout. And it's also neutral in temperature, so it can be used for both heat and cold conditions. Haitong Pi also promotes urination to treat superficial edema, which is another way it deals with dampness. The word pi means skin or peel or bark, and since this is the skin of a tree, it treats edema under the skin. So Haitong Pi makes you pee. And Haitong Pi can be used externally to treat certain skin problems like itchiness and scabies. Scabies is a type of rash caused by microscopic mites burrowing into the skin. Like we said, Haitong Pi is neutral in temperature. It's bitter and acrid, acrid to dispel wind and unblock the channels, and bitter to deal with dampness. Dampness in the joints, dampness causing edema, or dampness on the skin. Haitong Pi enters the liver, spleen, and kidney channels. Liver and kidney channels because it treats Bee syndrome, and spleen channel because of the dampness. As for the name, Haitong is just the name of the plant, so Haitong Pi means ocean tree bark. The next one we'll just mention briefly is Hu Gu, which is tiger bone. Hu Gu. Obviously, we don't use Hu Gu anymore. It's been moved to a special category called obsolete substances, but we'll just mention it briefly here just so you have some knowledge of how it was traditionally used. Tiger bone is very warm and yang in nature. In treating Bee syndrome, it doesn't just dispel wind. Instead, we go further to say that Hu Gu seeks out or tracks down wind. So it's especially useful for wind-predominant bee that moves from place to place. Besides that, Hu Gu is bone, so it's good for strengthening tendon and bone, especially in cases of atrophy. The way to take Hu Gu is usually not by boiling it in a decoction. Rather, it's soaked in alcohol to make a tincture. There's one famous preparation called Hu Gu Muguajiu, where Hu Gu is soaked in alcohol with the next herb in this category, Mugua, as well as other herbs that strengthen tendon and bone. So that's Hu Gu and its medicinal purpose. Next, we get into our herbs that unblock the channels and relax the sinews, starting with Mugua, Chinomelis fructus. Mugua. So because Mugua unblocks the channels and relaxes the sinews, that makes it especially useful for muscle spasm and cramping pain, for things like TMJ, jaw pain, abdominal cramps, and cramping in the leg. And besides that, Mugua also transforms Milzhao dampness for things like nausea and diarrhea. So if we put those two functions together, that makes Mugua especially useful for sudden turmoil disorder with abdominal cramping. Basically, vomiting and diarrhea, and you're vomiting so much that it gives you abdominal cramps. Mugua enters the liver and spleen channels, which makes sense. It enters the liver channel because it relaxes the sinews, and it enters the spleen channel because it transforms dampness to treat diarrhea. And Mugua is marked sour in flavor. Now, some people will say that Mugua is sour because it binds up the intestines to stop diarrhea. But others will say that the sour flavor doesn't really have anything to do with any astringent action. Instead, they say the reason we mark it sour is because it strongly enters the liver channel to relax the sinews. As for the name, Mu means wood and Gua means melon, so Mugua is wood melon. So maybe because it has wood in the name, that can make you think of the wood element, and it can remind you that Mugua is sour in flavor, that it strongly enters the liver channel, and that it relaxes the sinews. Next is Zan Sha, bombycus feces. Zan Sha. Zan Sha is silkworm feces, and it's very similar to Mugua. It dispels wind damp and relaxes the sinews to treat Bee syndrome, and it also transforms Milzhao dampness to treat vomiting and diarrhea. So they're often used together. And because this one also dispels wind dampness, it can also be used for itchy rashes due to wind damp. So sancha enters the liver channel because it treats Bee syndrome, and it enters the spleen stomach channels because it transforms middle jowl dampness. The name means silkworm sand, but that's just a poetic way of saying silkworm feces. Next is qin jiao, gentianai macrophylli radix. Qin jiao. Qin jiao dispels wind damp, unblocks the channels, and relaxes the sinews to treat Bee syndrome. It's especially useful for Bee syndrome and cramping in the extremities for things like frozen shoulder. And it's also slightly cold in temperature, so it's especially useful for hot Bee syndrome. Besides treating Bee syndrome, qin jiao also clears deficiency heat, treating steaming bone disorder. So we might see qin jiao used alongside other herbs that clear deficiency heat, herbs like qing hao and di gu pi. Qin jiao also treats jaundice due to damp heat, especially acute cases in infants. And, if anything, number 4, qin jiao moistens the large intestine to treat constipation. Now, you might not use qin jiao by itself for this purpose, but the reason this stands out is most of the herbs in this category are very drying in nature, whereas qin jiao has a moistening ability. So you might use qin jiao to counteract the drying properties of some of the other herbs in this category. So the thing you probably want to remember about qin jiao is that it's slightly cold in temperature. That means qin jiao is good for hot Bee, it clears deficiency heat, and it treats damp heat jaundice. And besides the liver channel, it also enters the gallbladder channel, because the gallbladder is related to jaundice. Next is sangjur, mori ramulus. Sangjur. Sang means mulberry, and jur means twig. Same as like guajur, so sangjur is mulberry twig. Sangjur dispels wind, relaxes the sinews, and unblocks the channels to treat Bee syndrome. So it treats muscle aches and pains, muscle spasms, and it benefits the joints, especially in the upper extremities. So you can maybe think that twigs are like the arms of a plant, so mulberry twig is for the arms of your body, for things like spasm in the limbs, pain and itching in the limbs, or even numbness and paralysis in the limbs after a stroke. Also, this is another one that's neutral or slightly cool in temperature, so it's good for warm-type Bee syndromes. It also promotes urination to treat edema, especially when edema is causing joint pain, and it can lower high blood pressure. The dosage of sangjur is larger than average, 9 to 15 grams, or even up to 30 grams in some cases, like with post-stroke conditions. And this is just because sangjur is mild and slow to work, so we need a larger dosage. Sangjur is neutral in temperature and bitter in flavor, so it's more likely to be used for Bee syndrome caused by heat. So remember, sangjur is for warm Bee and for the upper limbs. Next is xi xian cao, sigaspecii herba. Xi xian cao. Xi xian cao unblocks the channels to treat Bee syndrome. It's cold in temperature, so it's good for hot Bee. And it's good for spasm, cramps, weakness, numbness, and paralysis in the extremities, including post-stroke conditions. Xi xian cao also clears heat and subdues liver yang rising for things like headache and dizziness. And it also treats damp heat-related skin problems like sores, rashes, and itchy skin. For this, it can be taken internally or applied topically. And xi xian cao also lowers high blood pressure. And this might be weird, but I remember xi xian cao because the name sounds a lot like xia ku cao, which is another herb that clears liver heat, subdues liver yang rising, and lowers high blood pressure. And the dosage is slightly higher than average, 9 to 15 grams. Next is bai hua shi, which is a type of snake. Bai hua shi. Bai hua shi literally means white flower snake, referring to the pattern on its scales. It's also called Qi Shi, after the Qi River in Hubei province, where the snake is often collected. So if you remember the category herbs that clear heat and resolve toxicity, we learned an herb called Bai Hua Shi Shi Cao, which means white flower snake tongue herb. Bai Hua Shi Shi Cao got its name because the leaves looked like the tongue of a snake. Well, now we're learning the actual snake. But besides the name, these two herbs have nothing in common. So Bai Hua Shi is a snake, and it strongly unblocks the channels. This is another one that we can say it seeks out or tracks down wind. So you can think of a snake crawling through the channels, opening and unblocking them and searching out the wind. Baihuashi is good for numbness and weakness in the limbs, hemiplegia, and facial paralysis after a stroke. It treats convulsions, tremors, and seizures due to wind, and it can even dispel wind from the skin for numbness, itching, and rashes due to wind. So baihuashi is very strong and possibly toxic, so this is something that would be used more for stubborn cases or as a last resort when other, more gentle herbs have proven ineffective. The dosage of baihuashi is 3 to 9 grams in decoction, but you're probably more likely to see it used in pills or powders or soaked in alcohol as a tincture. Baihuashi is salty in flavor because it's an animal, and it's toxic because it's a snake. Overdosing may cause side effects like dizziness, palpitation, coma, or death due to respiratory failure. But as long as you stay in the normal dosage range, there shouldn't be any problems. And then our last couple herbs belong to the subcategory herbs that tonify liver and kidney yin to strengthen tendon and bone, starting with sangjisheng, taxili herba, sangjisheng. Sang, again, means mulberry, so sangjisheng means mulberry parasite. This is mistletoe, like what you hang up during Christmas. Now, I did not know this before, but apparently mistletoe is a parasitic plant that grows on trees, including mulberry trees. So sangjisheng tonifies liver and kidney yin to strengthen tendon and bone. The liver governs the tendons, and the kidney governs the bones, so that's why we say it this way. Because it tonifies, that makes sangjisheng especially useful for B syndrome in elderly patients or for chronic cases due to deficiency, for things like low back pain, joint problems, numbness, weakness, and atrophy. Besides strengthening tendon and bone, sangjisheng also tonifies blood. It tonifies blood and benefits the skin, treating dry, scaly skin due to deficiency. It tonifies blood, treating insufficient lactation due to blood deficiency. And it calms restless fetus to prevent miscarriage, for stirring fetus or bleeding during pregnancy due to liver and kidney deficiency. If anything else, recent studies have shown that sangjisheng can lower high blood pressure, and some sources say it can lower high cholesterol as well. Sangjisheng is sweet in flavor because it tonifies, but it's still bitter in flavor to deal with the dampness of wind-cold damp. It enters the liver and kidney channels because it strengthens tendon and bone, and the dosage is a little higher than average, 9 to 15 grams. And our last herb is wujia pi. You might see this listed as Eleutherococci gracilis dialyi cortex or Acanthopinacus cortex, depending on the book. I usually go with the second one just because it's shorter. So again, the name is wujia pi. Wujia pi also tonifies liver and kidney yin to strengthen tendon and bone. This makes it useful for B syndrome in elderly patients and also for impaired motor development in children. It's still warm, acrid, and bitter, so it still dispels wind-cold damp. It's just that it's especially useful when there's a background of deficiency, like weak or soft sinews and bones. Wujia pi also promotes urination to treat edema, especially for edema under the skin. Again, pi means bark or skin or peel, so since it's the skin of the tree, it's good for edema under the skin. Or you can just remember that wujia pi sounds like wujia pi, so it promotes urination. The name means five additions bark. Now, I don't really know what that name means, but maybe it can remind you that wujia pi treats five delay syndrome, or delayed development in children. So that's it for herbs that dispel wind dampness or herbs that treat B syndrome. Let's do a quick review. Duhuo expels wind cold damp to treat B syndrome, especially for B syndrome in the lower body. So Qianghuo treats upper body B, Duhuo treats lower body B. Weilingxian expels wind cold damp to treat B syndrome, and its specialty is stopping pain. This is the one that's salty in flavor because it softens fish bones and also reduces abdominal masses. Haitong pi treats B syndrome, but it's neutral in temperature, so it can be used for both hot and cold conditions. It promotes urination to treat edema, so Haitong pi makes you pee, and it kills parasites and relieves itching. Hugu is tiger bone. It expels wind cold damp and tonifies liver and kidney yin to strengthen tendon and bone. Because it's an animal, it's salty in flavor, and it's usually soaked in alcohol and taken as a tincture. Mugua relaxes the sinews and unblocks the channels to treat B syndrome, especially for cramping and spasm. It's sour in flavor because it strongly enters the liver channel, and it also transforms middle jaw dampness. Sansha is silkworm feces. Like mugwa, it relaxes the sinews and unblocks the channels to treat B syndrome, and also transforms middle jaw dampness. Qinjiao is the one that's slightly cold in temperature, so it treats hot B, clears deficiency heat, and treats jaundice due to damp heat. Songzhi is mulberry twig. It's a twig, so it's good for the upper extremities. Xixianzao is especially good for post-stroke conditions. It unblocks the channels, clears liver heat, and subdues liver yang rising, and lowers high blood pressure. Baihuashi is a snake. It seeks out and tracks down wind in the channels, so it's good for chronic and stubborn conditions. It's an animal, so it's salty in flavor, and it's usually soaked in alcohol and taken as a tincture. Sangjisheng and Wujiapi are the ones that tonify liver and kidney yin to strengthen tendon and bone. Sangjisheng also tonifies blood, benefiting the skin and calming restless fetus. Wujiapi also treats impaired motor development in children. And it promotes urination to treat edema. So Wujiapi sounds like Wujiapi.
So that's it for the category Herbs That Dispel Wind Dampness. I hope it was helpful. Be sure to head over to the website tcmstudy.net and take the practice test. And a special thank you to the Patreon members. If you enjoy this content and get value out of it, consider supporting the site by joining the Patreon. Just head over to tcmstudy.net and click the Patreon link at the top. But that's all for today. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks, and see you next time.